I hope that you know I was teasing about this being better than what Billy would have done. We are looking forward to him, and I am assuming that he will provide that message for us the next time he's available to be here, and we'll look forward to that. It looks like it would be a very good message for us that is needed. We're emphasizing this month in our worship, in our reading, in our lives, hopefully, faithfulness. And there is nothing more significant than God being faithful to us. And as I study with you a little bit this morning, I want you to think as best you can about the circumstances that Jeremiah found himself in. It's a great deal like we find ourselves in circumstances today. Not easy to deal with, not easy to live with, not easy to think about what to think sometimes, what to do sometimes, where to go sometimes, how to feel sometimes. But one of the greatest blessings the Bible teaches us is that no matter what Roy Sharp does, no matter how far away Roy Sharp might choose to go from God, God is always going to be stable and in His place, and He will be faithful. God will do for Roy Sharp exactly what God says that He will do for Roy Sharp. And you can put your name in there. In fact, that's what our messages ought to be all about, is where when you start thinking about the message, it ought to be in relationship to your life. It's not about somebody else. It's not about the preacher talking to a group of people that he knows needs to be different and better. The reality is, all of us need to be different and better. We have some of the greatest people in the world in this room. I believe that. But there's not a person in this room that doesn't need to be better. So this morning, think about your life and where you are and how you feel and what you think, and try to empathize if you can. Understand what Jeremiah is thinking, how he's feeling, and then you can better understand what he is saying. And may his thoughts about God in the positive way be our thoughts, because sometimes his thoughts were not so good. And that means that sometimes our thoughts will not be so good. There is no perfect person presented to us in the New Testament other than Jesus himself. So when we start thinking about Abraham as he's presented in the New Testament, he was faithful. His faithfulness and the obedience that he did, the New Testament teaches, was accounted to him as righteousness. Are you a righteous person this morning? Well, the first thought that would come to your mind is, oh, I can't say that because I make so many mistakes. Well, so did Abraham. So did Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't that Noah was perfect without any flaws, without any sins, without any thinking about why would God do that, about any thinking about never making a mistake. He needed God's grace. And because of his love for God and his obedience to God, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So this morning, all of us need God's grace. All of us need to be better and different as we look at life. So I want to share with you some things about what Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, teaches, and then some specific things from Lamentations chapter 3 about the faithfulness of God. It's not possible for us to think of any city in exactly the same way the Jewish people thought of Jerusalem. We recognize that it was the place that God chose. I was reading from the book of Deuteronomy this morning, and he is telling them about their feast that they are going to observe when they come into the promised land. And he said, I want you to observe them not out here in just any place, but in the place that I appoint for you to meet. And we know that the great temple was built in Jerusalem. It became the focus of the religion, of the life of the Jewish nation.
what an important city Jerusalem was for them. We don't have a city like that now that is so important to us that all of us men have to go there and often take our families with us. Nothing like that. This city was so much more important than you could think of any city being to any one of us. It was a fantastic place. But at the time of the writing of Lamentations, Jeremiah is lamenting over the condition of the people, first of all. And as a result of the condition of the people, we see the condition of the city itself. In chapter 1 and verse 1, this city that was so full of life, so full of people, so full of what the Jewish people had gotten from God, had needed from God, now the city that was full is now lonely. Judah, we're talking about the people now. Judah has gone into exile. A foreign nation had come in and taken them and just removed all of their basic goods, all of the people that were able to work and function in a great way. The older people were left, and the children, some, and women were left. But if there was a person capable, it was now gone. The city, the nation, suffers bitterly, verse 4 says. And then, verse 5, Jeremiah says, the Lord has afflicted her. And that's true. God had told them time after time after time, through prophet after prophet after prophet, unless you change your ways, these things are going to happen. So the Lord has afflicted that nation, that city. And you can imagine her foes gloat over us. Back when I was in college at Oklahoma Christian, we had a pretty good basketball team. And I remember as we would be near the end of the game and we were going to win. And this happened in many places, not just at Oklahoma Christian. But there was a song that people sang, na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, goodbye. Meaning, we have put you in your place. We are leaving here a winner and you're not. We would gloat over every victory that we had. Can you imagine? Have you ever done that? That's how the nations around that had seen Judah so blessed by God, so given blessings by God. Now this city is empty, the people are in exile, and the foes are gloating over it. Na 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 na, hey, 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 goodbye. Those nations were probably thinking in their way. You see, those people had taken no thought of their future. What's tomorrow going to be like? How am I going to be thinking tomorrow? What's my life going to be tomorrow? What if I don't do what God says? What will my life be like? What if I do what God says? What will my life be like? You see, these people had taken no thought about their future, and now they were in serious trouble. A very powerful passage to me. There's the picture of a road passing by Jerusalem. Nobody's stopping in Jerusalem anymore. It's not the great city it was. As people passed by, the city was in ruins. Jeremiah says, is it nothing to you? You people who are passing by, who are gloating, you people who once saw a great city, who saw so many great things, is it not bothering you now that these people have lived such a horrible life that they are in exile and they are afflicted and they are suffering? And this city that was so great, now it is lonely. Doesn't it matter to you at all? That's the circumstance that Jeremiah found himself in. He's a greatly troubled man. We look around us and we see people greatly troubled. We don't see so many cities destroyed in our world, but if you look around the world where all the tragedies are going on, where bombs are still being dropped, where things are happening that just destroy entire villages, there are people in the condition that Jeremiah was in. They are in that condition today. Jeremiah spoke of himself here in chapter 3. He had seen affliction, serious affliction. He saw himself as in darkness without any light. In verse 2, he's physically sick because of the circumstances that he is in. My flesh and my skin waste away. In chapter 3, verse 7, he feels as though he has been walled about. No gate, no opening, just a big wall that he could not escape from has been built around him, has been built around the people of Judah that remain in the country. He is so sad, he just sees himself as not being able to escape. In verse 14, he had tried to talk. He had tried to encourage. He had tried to teach. And the people laughed at him. They laughed at him so much that they considered him, and he considered himself, a laughing stock. Somebody that was just to be made fun of. Somebody that was not to be listened to. Somebody that was not good with reasoning. Not good with thinking about tomorrow. And so he became a laughing stock. He has no peace. That's a tough place to be in, isn't it? When life is so hard, there is nowhere you can go, nothing you can think about that just calms you down and brings you peace. His life and the life of Judah was in turmoil. He just said, I can't go on. No endurance. And then, perhaps the saddest of all things, no hope. No hope for a future like Jerusalem was supposed to have had. No hope for a life of preaching and teaching a people that would listen, that would know that God is sending him, that God is sending this message. There's no hope. Back in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 20, Jeremiah got to the point where he said, I just got so tired. He had this feeling so deeply. He said, I said, I will never speak his name again. I will never speak his name again. Can you imagine saying, you will never let the name of God come out of your mouth, off of your lips, out of your heart ever again? That's pretty discouraging. He is a man in great trouble. When we're in trouble, our view of God becomes warped. Boy, what's on the screen there? Hard to think about. Hard to think about Jeremiah going from this man who was the spokesman for God to feeling like this. Here's his view of God. Verse 10 says, he is a bear lying in wait for me. Verse 10 says, he's a lion in hiding, waiting to pounce on me. Verse 11 says, he has torn me to pieces and left me desolate. Verse 15 says, he has filled me with bitterness. Have you ever been bitter toward anybody? So that when you hear their name, your stomach starts churning and the hair on the back of your neck stands up and your face turns red and you are so hurt and angry. Bitterness just builds up within you. What a sad place to be. Can't imagine what he says in verse 16. He made my teeth grind on gravel. Not a pleasant thought. And then verse 17, he caused me to forget what happiness is. There are a lot of people in our world today just like this. You may be sitting right in the same place on a seat with one of them. If you are, you need to think about Jeremiah. Remember I mentioned back in chapter 20 where he said, I will never speak the name of God again. He turned that around when he said, there was a fire burning in my bones. That word that God wanted presented, that God had given to Jeremiah, that word came burning in his heart. so that he turned his life around. Was he ever in trouble? He was. He was highly afflicted. Did it affect for a bit his view of God? It did. But as we think about Jeremiah, this is such a great passage that we even sing songs about it, don't we? As we did this morning. In verse 21, he said, "But this I called to mind, and therefore have hope." What is it that he called to mind? Look at verse 22. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." And then the statement we need to have imprinted all over our lives: "Great is your faithfulness." God was not through with Jeremiah. God was not through with Judah. Was there discipline? Was God hurt because of their lives of sin and degradation in relation to his word? He was, and he was disciplining them. But he was not through with them. And when Jeremiah thought, look at the lives of God's people, God has not been through with man. His mercies are new every morning. We talk about the manifold grace of God from the New Testament. The many-sided grace of God. There's not a problem that exists in any one of us in this room, but there is grace from God to take care of that problem. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are so great, they will never come to an end. No matter how ungrateful we become, no matter how sinful we become, his mercies are new and available to us every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's what Jeremiah called to mind. Brought him hope. Here's Jeremiah's view of God when hope returns. God is his rock. It is God upon whom he is going to build his life. It is not about the problems that are present in his life. It's not about Jerusalem being desolate. It's not about Judah being in exile. Those are not the things he's going to build his life on. But you see, there were many people who did. And they had no hope. Because you see, they forgot that God's mercies are new every day. They forgot the great faithfulness of God. And they are so embittered by the problems that they are living in that exist in their lives now. They have pushed God aside, and their whole life is about the problems and about the sin and about the circumstances of their life. And they see no hope. But when Jeremiah thought about the faithfulness of God and his great mercies, he said, "The Lord is my portion." That's what I have available to me. It's not about the troubles that are in my life. It's not about the afflictions that I have. Were they there? The problems, the afflictions, the difficulties? Was Jerusalem lying desolate? Was Judah in exile? Absolutely. But that's not the portion of life that Jeremiah is going to function on. He's building his life on something better, and that is God. In verse 25, he said, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." This morning, there are people just like Jeremiah who had a hard time waiting. We're pretty impatient people, aren't we? And things aren't the way we want them. We demand God to come take life as we want it to be. We read Romans 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. Well, God is not doing good in my life, we might think. But the qualifications that are there. All things work together for good when we love the Lord and we are called according to his purpose. It's not about my purpose. It's not about how successful I am, how great I am, how wealthy I am. It's not about how many people are on my side. It's about whether God is on my side. if we love the Lord and we keep His purpose in mind every day, even when things are not what we want to be, God is the reward that you and I need. That's Jeremiah's view when he had hope. And then third, God is his Redeemer. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Doesn't mean to go over there and sit in the corner when things are bad. When you don't like the way life has come to you, you don't sit over in the corner and cower down. You get up and you build your life on that rock. You keep working toward that reward. You keep thinking of God as your salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven than that which is given to us in the New Testament as Jesus the Christ. Today, you need to think about your view. What is your view? Is life so hard that you have such a difficult time having hope, listening to what God has to say, choosing to be God's person, living in harmony with God's will? Here's a story that most of you probably have heard about a man who had a job of raising a bridge, had a train track on the bridge, and it had to be raised when big ships would come through this waterway. And it was his job to know when the ships were coming, to have that drawbridge raised, and then to let it back down, knowing when the trains are coming. This man had a young son, about 10 years old. He loved that boy. The highlight of his life was being able to do things with that boy. He would often take his son to work with him. And they would go out to where this man would sit with his son on the bridge and watch the ships go by and talk about where they'd been, where they're going, what they were carrying. And the young boy just loved being with his dad and hearing those stories. One day they went down. The ships were supposed to be coming through. He raised the drawbridge and he sits down and they're talking about all of those things the little boy loved so much and the dad forgot about the time. There's a passenger train that's coming. Dad forgot about it. And then he heard the whistle. He jumped up to go pull the switch to lower the drawbridge. He had time to do that, even though he forgot about it. But the little boy jumped up as well, and when the little boy jumped up, he fell down into those big gears that would have to turn to lower the drawbridge. If his dad saved his son, the people on the train would die. If he saved the people on the train, his little boy would have to die. And the story that I read said that he chose to save the people on the train. He pulled that switch and he had to watch his young son be ground to death in those gears that was lowering the bridge to save those people on the train. As the train passed by, his son lying crushed down in those gears. His dad looks on the train. There are people in the dining car eating, drinking, just enjoying life, laughing about things. And he's thinking, is it nothing to you, all of you who pass by? I've just given my son's life that you might live. Can you imagine just thinking about the horror of that kind of circumstance? God looks upon our world, a world in real trouble, a world with real problems and real pain, forgetting about them, forgetting that he watched his son, as it were, be crushed on the cross, as his son died for you and me, and we may be like those people on the train just enjoying life. Or we may be feeling such pain we can't see God. We've lost hope. Jeremiah went through everything that you and I go through. Found hope in God. God and His Son went through things you and I cannot imagine. No one will ever hurt me the way I hurt God. Great is God's faithfulness. This morning, it's a great opportunity if you're in this room and you have just been, as it were, riding that train, laughing and talking, forgetting about God, or so filled with pain that you can't think about God. Hope in God. It's your rock. It's your hope. It's your Savior. And if you need a public response to be baptized into Christ or to come back to the Lord, what a great opportunity. As we think about God, as we think about His faithfulness to us today, what is your view about the faithfulness of God? If you need to respond, our hope is that you will. Would you stand and let's sing together?